off on today's episode, I have to say, I wasn't here for the recording of last week's episode with Vicky, and I hadn't listened to it either before, because usually you send me like a draft before we post. But I have to say, from my own perspective, such a great inspirational talk, and I hope all of you guys out there liked it too. I know I did, even if I haven't been through the journey or even considered it. It was so interesting to hear that spin on, you know, being a female, career-driven person, and I really appreciated her being so open, and I really hope that we get some good feedback. I know she got a lot of feedback on the episode that it was really good, but I just had to give a shout out to last week's episode since I wasn't present myself.
No, it was a great episode. Although I think now in hindsight, Vicky herself wished that she had done it in English. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Maybe we'll do a rerun for all the English listeners. But nevertheless, I also think it's just one of those topics that there's a certain like stigma around it, and it just got me thinking as well. You know, like if my situation had been different, would I have been open to going through freezing my eggs? Or like I think I even mentioned in the episode, like maybe I should do it now. I mean, given that I don't want another kid right now, but like my eggs aren't getting any younger. So, but
I think it's an angle I've never even thought about, just to go a little bit into depth, because I remember I reflected over what I was thinking when I was single before I met my partner now. And there was never in my mind a thought process of, should I freeze my eggs to wait for the right one? I took the path of like, I'm looking into how I can get a baby on my own. You know, when they made it legal in Sweden, I was like, what's the waiting list? How many years? What's the donor like situation? How can I do it? Because I was so confident in like, I want a kid and I know I can do it on my own. I have a set life, my career, everything is good. I can do it. So that was like the path I was ready. I was like ready to embark on right before I met him. I was like, I'm good. By 30, I'm going to do this. And then he came up. So that never happened. But I never thought about freezing my eggs.
But people don't talk about it. Like, I mean, first of all, I think in Sweden, especially like in many other countries, there are a lot of people out there who are single and getting older, you know, and at a certain age, I mean, especially more for women, at least, it becomes more difficult to conceive. But it's not like people go around talking about like, oh, hey, you know what, you're 30 next year, you should freeze your eggs. I mean, I think the best age to do it is like when we're 20. Why doesn't anyone tell us that? Shouldn't that just be part of like the health system?
Like, you know, you get called for a pap smear, you also get called for an egg freeze.
Exactly. Like, would you like to do this just to secure your future and like be on the safe side? Then maybe, I would for sure do it.
Maybe it will, although I highly doubt it since we're overpopulated as it is. I don't think that's going to be implemented anytime soon, but anyway,
so on to what we want to talk about today. I mean, and what we I think text about like constantly, like constantly, and I mean like every day. It's about our roles, like at work, of course. We talk a lot about work because we're managers. We manage people. But more now about how we're momagers. And like often people, when they use the word momager, it's like, oh, you manage your kid. Which is like, yeah, I do. But we're also managing a household that includes a partner. So it's a full-time job.
I would say it's more than a full-time job. It's like 300 hours a week of labor.
And you can't fire them.
You could get rid of the one. The second one has to kind of stick around. But yeah, it's a very challenging stage to be in. And I think generally, whether you're a manager or not at work, it's challenging as it is when you become a mom, and this invisible like cloak we put on that we're just like the primary of everything. And I've talked about this before here as well, like the primary caretaker, the primary project manager, the primary in everything. And I can say from my own experience, having a managerial role on top of it and the kind of job that we have just makes it so much harder. Like my brain fog is just across departments, so to speak. And we talked about it before, and like I said to you when we talked about it before recording, it really provokes me that even if you think you live in an equal relationship, which you seemingly do, and it is, you know, equal to the sense of equality and whatever, the invisible work that comes along with just like not just running a household for two people anymore, but running a household for a child involved, because that a lot of the times changes your schedule and the needs of the family and everything that goes around it, is just like pissing me off. Like, why am I in this trap, even if I think that I'm in an equal relationship? How did I get here?
And I think it's like, it starts out like pretty innocent, and now like I'm really referring to the part where, you know, you have your kid. So first of all, the woman is on mat leave. Like, you take mat leave first, right?
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's for 3 months or a year, really doesn't matter, but you're the first kind of caretaker, and then you set up these routines. And if your partner comes to the state where he then, or she, whatever, takes over and is like, oh, now you're going back to work and I'm taking over, we're already kind of set in our ways, right? We've had like kind of a bit of time to, you know, perfect these new routines for this new little human being. And I think that's where this control starts. And that's also where it starts, that the partner is like, how should I do this? What do you mean to the right? What do you mean to the left? And then, you know, you're writing all these instructions. And then it just kind of escalates to kid starting kindergarten, you're writing lists, it's logistics, it's activities, and it just turns into, yeah, like you're saying, more than a full-time job. I would say that that's kind of the start of it, because this doesn't just happen overnight. It just creeps up on you, and then suddenly you're just, you know, at work, you're in a meeting, and you get, you know, a text like, should they eat this or that, should they eat at 5, or is it okay to give half a glass of milk or whatever? And I'm just like, oh my god, solve it. Like, why are you writing this to me? Like, really, do you even read your own questions before you send them to me?
But do you often get, if I say fix it, like, you're not a dumb, you can fix shit yourself, then he goes in return, he's like, yeah, but if I do it my way, then you only complain, so I 100% might as well ask you. And then I'm like, you want to fight me? Like, meet me outside. Don't give me that kind of shit. I mean, I could just
No, but the thing is, like, I know I get that all the time. Like, of course I have to ask, because the few times I haven't, then you get upset because I didn't do it your way. And then I'm also like, I'm hearing it because, yeah, I did get upset. But then again, I'm like, of course I get upset, because by the 7th time of doing this, you told you.
By the 10th time, I've told you how to do it.
This is just repetitive things, you know, like, it's repetitive things. But and I don't know, it's like this vicious cycle that, you know, you then have to try to break. But it's really difficult, because then you're so like deep into it. Right. You become an enabler. Right.
You do.
And then suddenly, I mean, because it is the exact same, like, you know, we've both managed people, or maybe still today manage some that, you know, are a bit lazy, right? Or that just like kind of on purpose don't do the best job, because the best people, best workers, they are the ones that you'll delegate to, because you're like, oh, you'll get shit done, you know, like how it should be done, right? So that's like a smart move. Acting a bit like, oh my god, I don't know how to do this.
That's even what I talk about all the time. Weaponized incompetence is a detriment to society.
Wow, that it was like the most serious sentence I've ever heard.
It is the greatest curse of our generation and all generations to come. Like, how do we break this? It's,
I don't know,
so unhealthy. And it creates like a wedge, and it creates resentment and irritation that you don't want to have there, because, you know, you love your partner for some stuff and you think that he or she, they're great people and you're with them for a reason, hopefully. You don't want to let that stuff slide in and like create resentment in your relationship, but you can't help it.
But that's also why I think like these early years of having a kid is when I think statistically most people like separate or start going to like family therapy, because it's like a whole new way of living that just stirs up new things and expectations, and someone, you know, doing more or less, it doesn't matter. And like I see it so clearly because every person that I meet that's in a relationship, or even if they're separated, but, you know, have a kid together, this is like the main topic. And I told you just like the other day, a woman that's working in the same building as me just like asked her how she's doing, and she had a complete meltdown, like crying. And I was like, oh, you know, what happened? And it was this. This happened. This whole thing with, like, mm-hmm. she's doing everything at home, trying to balance it with working full time. And, you know, and she's just like, it's too much. She's like, my partner spends, you know, 40 minutes in the bathroom when shit is hitting the fan. And I'm like out there preparing three meals and doing the laundry. And he's like, yeah, I had a good dump.
Wrote a
and
thesis.
It's like, did I kill you now or later? Like, how dare you brag about being in the bathroom for 40 minutes taking a dump? Or like, hey, you know what I just read? It's like, no, I don't want to know. Mm. You had your phone for 40 minutes in the bathroom. That's like you were having alone time.
Mm. Incredible.
But why is that? I really, like, it's mind-boggling. Because everyone's talking about it, but no one's, like, really actively working on changing it.
I know, but you said earlier when we talked before recording, you said, oh, I really do think it comes down to male and female. Mm. And to that I say, yes, it does, but not biologically. It's, like, structurally, patriarchally, or however you say it in English, like, that is what it comes down to. And I just don't know, like I said, you have an equal relationship in so many ways, and you're not what, you know, what you would consider being the typical sexist guy or non-equal person or whatever. You're with, like, a progressive person.
Yeah.
And yet, you're still there. And then I'm like, I can only imagine how it's like for women who are in partnerships with people who don't take any of the responsibility. Like, with, you know... Yeah.
But they wouldn't even, like, I don't think even they would dare to say this to themselves. To complain. You know what I mean? Because that environment, there's like a whole deeper issue in there. They would never dare to say, hey, it's too much, or I think you should help out.
Mm.
I don't think they would. Whereas we're, like, thankfully in an environment where we can say, hey, like, I don't appreciate this. I don't think, you know, it's fair, or I need you to step it up, or whatever. Like, we can have these talks with each other.
Mm.
But sometimes it's like, all we do is talk, and then, you know, it's back to the same. So I'm more like, how do you change that? But yeah, you're probably like 100% right that it's like a structural thing. Because just think about, I don't know, like your grandmother, right? And that's not that many years ago, but there was always one partner, and sorry to say, but it was usually the man, at least back in the day, who would, his primary task was to go to work, earn the money, and come back and be like, hey, here's a check. And then the woman would have to do everything else. She would then have that little budget and would have to make sure that everything else just works. Mm. Like, you know, a well-oiled machine.
Mm.
I don't think it was like, hey, honey, you're back home from work. Can you feed the kids? Like, I'm going to go to yoga class. Really? I mean, he'd probably tell her, sit your ass down. Mm. You know, you're not going anywhere. You know, feed me, woman, or I'm tired. I've been working all day. Mm. And I think that's like what's sticking. Like, men are used to, and sorry for saying men, but that I will have to, are used to like doing this one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm a man. I go to work and I come home, you know.
And then they slap their chest like, huga shaka. And it's exactly. Like, really do?
And we're like dying. I was like, yes, I was also at work, but I came home. And within like the 2 hours I've been home, I've done 37 things.
Yeah. While watching the kid.
But that's also multitasking. Mm. Isn't it like
absolutely
scientifically confirmed that men cannot multitask?
I don't know if we have scientific proof. I would like to say that there is scientific proof, because I don't see how else this would make any sense in my mind. But like we always talk about, I mean, when our partners are doing something, God forbid that there is one interjection of any sort, or if the child like even peeps out from a corner, like he freaks out. He's like, take him. I'm doing something. I need to focus. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like I'm doing five things while having him with me in the kitchen, hanging off my hip.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? I need to do this now. I need to focus. It's like, just like freeze goes in total. Like,
And that is the multitasking aspect, because like even, I mean, for me, even at work, I always multitask.
Me too.
Like, even if you plan your day and you're like, I've blocked my calendar and I'm going to focus on this project or whatever, it's impossible. Like, I wouldn't get shit done. Mm-hmm. I have to do 3-4 things simultaneously. But and text my partner about, like, what to do and what not to do.
Which socks he should put on. Yeah,
exactly.
But if you look at it from the other perspective, we're calling this manager to momager. Mm. If you're looking outside of your home life, do you feel like your role as a manager has changed from becoming a momager as well? And how do you... I don't manage... Well, I do, but... And how do you manage people who become mothers or who are mothers and are struggling with the same thing as you do?
Like, okay, so before I had a kid and I managed people, and, you know, there was, like, men, women, doesn't matter, that would, like, have to take care of their sick kid or leave early or were a little extra stressed or whatever, I had zero understanding. I was like, what are you talking about? You have a two-year-old. How hard can it be? Like, you know, you're just using that as an excuse. You know, you're tired because you were up watching Netflix or whatever. And I wouldn't really, and I could sometimes be pissed at the parents because I felt they got away with things. You know, like, oh, I can leave at three because, you know, good parents pick up their kids at three. And I'd sit there and I was like, oh, well, I have to sit here until, well, the task is done, which could be six, was seven, or whatever. Was it a little
bitterness maybe?
There was a bit of bitterness, for sure. Also because I just honestly assumed everyone was lying. You know, that's like my first thing. I assume everyone's lying until proven otherwise. What's this
benefit of a doubt? Fuck
there
it.
There is none. Buried. There is none. So, and then I had a kid, and then I went back to work. And I know where you all think this is going. You know, where I've had this epiphany, but I was like, no, you are fucking liars. Fucking knew it, you liars. No, but like the only thing I understood was really like, yeah, yeah, I mean, there's a lot for you to do at home. The men, I had zero understanding for. I was like, you lazy asses telling me you're leaving at three to pick up your kid. We all know what you're doing. You're going to a public toilet and you're sitting there for 2 hours. So, and then with everyone else, I was like, okay, I get it when your kid is sick and you're like, oh, I have to go earlier, I have to stay at home and whatever. But like, other than that, I was like, no. Like, you have been fooling me. And now you will pay the price. Because I make it work, you know? Like, I do my job. I don't leave early. I don't, you know, whatever. I make it work. Because I know that once I am home, I have to take care of everything else. Then I'm more like, okay, but have my partner do that or whatever. And now I'm speaking more for, you know, the women. So if you as a woman are always the one leaving early and being with the sick kid, stop doing that, because that's another thing that's enabling your partner to, you know, put more on you and take less responsibility.
I will say I take like 10% of all the sick leave. My hubby does the rest.
Yeah.
Because it's more beneficial for us and it works. And, you know, I have many meetings and stuff that I can always work around it. But that really, that is one thing that I have to say. Shout out to him. He does take like all of the VAP that we call it here in Sweden.
But you also then become aware, I think, back to like the work scene, how, you know, I have a few names that pop up in my head, like back from our old workplace. These people who would like stay home, I swear to you, like 3 days a week. You know, kid always sick. And whatever. And then I thought, oh, wow, your kid, like, is really sick. I mean, I felt, you know, bad. But then I'm like, oh, my God, you were doing everything. Like, and I knew they had partners. They weren't single parents. And I'm like, it just makes me even more frustrated. I want to go back there and be like, I hope things have changed. Because you were doing, like, 80% of everything right after coming back from, like, a mat leave. Have you not done enough, woman? Have some dignity.
Take care of your body, lady. What the hell? I mean, I think another thing for me that changed, and this is going to sound like I'm such an asshole, but like, I don't give anybody else that's not a parent anymore. I'm not saying when I manage people, just generally in life. Like, everybody I meet, when like people without kids say that they don't have time or they're stressed out or they're like, you know, tired, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, you don't know how good you have it, you little bitch. Like, I really get like, are you serious? You haven't lived life. You don't have a child. And I feel like, and my sister said that to me, because I said that to her one day, because she was like, oh, I'm so tired or whatever. And I was like, please stop saying you're tired. And then I like projected on her that I was more tired. And oh my God, I fucking hate when people do that on me. But I keep doing it. And she was like, is nobody else like entitled to being tired just because they're not parents? Like, are you the only one who has valid feelings around this? I'm like, yes, I don't understand. What do you mean? You have all the time in the world. You can get up when you want. You can shit alone. You can watch any series you
just
want.
Just those little things. You shitting alone.
You have 24 hours when you decide exactly what you're going to do for you and you alone.
I know.
And I know that's my problem, but like, I've become more so that. Now.
No, for
not sure. Just with everyone, not managing people.
No, for sure. I think also, I could agree to that, that I have different expectations on people that are not managing a full-on household. Mm. I know there's always other factors affecting a person's private life, but just like kind of the broader picture, you know, please, I hope no one that's listening is getting all offended and like, oh, but I'm doing this, this, this. I'm just talking to the, like, the broader group. If your life, all in all, is pretty well, and you're not managing a household, like, just enjoy it. Mm. But don't come and talk about, like, oh, I got 7 hours of sleep instead of 8, or, you know, the neighbor's dog was barking. No one gives a shit, okay?
Well, you don't give a shit because you have a kid. That's what I'm saying. Like, who am I to say who can be tired and not tired? Like, come on. I'm not the tired police. But yeah. I become one because maybe that's bitterness as well. I'm like, I'm so jealous of like, you know, you can sleep however you want.
Like, I swear, all this talk about sleep, I'm going to fall asleep. Because I was even saying that the other day to my sister. I was like, just like, I'm so tired. Mm. I've been like, I've been sleeping. But you know, when your mind is just, yeah, exactly. You can't settle down. And then, you know, I wake up before the alarm because like, oh my God, there's all these things to do and whatever. Your day usually starts out also stressful because you have this little human to get ready. Mm. And it was the same there. She was like, yeah, I've also had a tough week. And I was like, you don't get to talk. This is about me. I don't need
stop
to hear.
You right there.
Exactly.
But I think also, I mean, it's contradicting maybe, but at the same time as I'm like, you know, this monster, I'm like, you don't get to be tired. I'm the only one who's tired kind of thing. I also think I have, in contrary to what you have done, I've become more full of empathy for like circumstances, not just for the people I manage with kids. Before I had kids, I was like you know, like, I don't get it, whatever, like, where do you have to go again? But now I've gotten more of like an empathy for them, but also for my like team as a broader spectrum. So whether it's like I need to leave early for personal time, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, or I'm going through something, I didn't have much empathy before. Now I think that's something that's like developed in me since I became a mom. And I don't know if that's like your empathy grows when you have a kid and you're caring for another life in general. But at the same time as I'm, you know, you don't get to be tired, I also have a lot of more understanding for people with or without kids that I manage. And I think I appreciate that feature coming into my life because it makes it easier for me to understand people as well. And I'm more like, what's it called? Flexibility with that as well than I would have had before.
So. I mean, I am as well, like, outwards because I'm sane enough to know, like, what the logical thing is to do. And I'm very rational in that sense. And, like, everyone's situation is different. But in my own thoughts,
in your intrusive thoughts.
I'm like, yeah, no, but where I'm like, no, that's not a good enough excuse. You know, like, no. But... anyways, I'm a great manager, as y'all can hear.
You get 10 out of 10 on all those, like,
no, but I'm funny service. Instead. It compensates. I make a joke and people are like, are you serious? Like, yes, I'm serious. You got fired. But all in all, I mean, I guess that being a manager and then becoming a mom and a momager, it's just... all of that just kind of gets intertwined, right? So at the end of the day, you're just kind of managing everything in your life 24/7, no matter if that's in an office or at home or abroad or whatever.
I think my roles have definitely like become a blurred line between my private life and my work. It's just managing across the board.
Yeah, but that's also because there's no more like specific time frames, you know? Like you work constantly because maybe you had to leave early and go home and take care of a kid. And then you put that kid to bed and then you compensate for those hours you left early.
Yeah.
So it all falls into these 24 hours. And then some days maybe you have to get up like at 5 because you have to prepare for a presentation and your kid gets up at 7. So that's the only time you have to do it.
Yeah, I know.
So you can't be like, oh, I work 9 to 5 and that's it. Nah, you don't.
I don't have the luxury of like getting up and doing something before because I'll be damned. If I get up at 5 seconds later, he's going to open his eyes and be like, Mom, I'm done.
I have the same thing. Like I would set my alarm really early, but
it doesn't work.
He would still wake up. So that whole, you know, 5 a.m. club for successful doesn't people, work. Like, I don't know. Unless your kid sleeps like outdoors in a tent or in a barn. I'm like, don't bother me, please. Anyways, just to kind of summarize It just feels like we've been complaining. Like, that's all we do. But
that's okay.
This is a safe space. Mm-hmm. I would say this. Like, just that, like, at work, no matter if you're the one managing people or you have a manager, you have development talks. Mm-hmm. You know, where you talk about how the year's been, what your plans forward are, and what other role you're interested in. Treat your partner like in the same way, where it's like, so this year I've been the project manager, not liking this role very much, or at least I feel I should get a raise. But if...
when I get that Dior bag that you promised me, how about
that? Exactly. Otherwise, I'm more interested in being like an assistant and let you manage
a everything. A trainee, maybe.
Exactly, a trainee. I am a lost cause. So just, yeah, try that. We always come back to the whole point of just communication, but... It's a tough time, and we just have to kind of make it work and make the best out of the situation.
And generally, I would say, I think we need to become more transparent with the soft values at our workplace as well. Mm. I mean, yes, we have development talks, but why don't you bring in some of those, like, personal, you know, what are my conditions right now? What are my circumstances? True. What am I capable of this year? Are we aligned on what my goals are versus what you want my goals to be? Just, like, bring in a little bit of the soft value sometimes. We talk so much, like, hard KPIs and what are we going to... And, of course, it's a workspace, but I think the understanding between a manager and... the people they manage would be better if they were like, you know what, this is what I'm going through right now, or this year, or the past year has been XYZ. This is what I'm trying to work on like an interpersonal level or whatever. Mm. And just kind of like weave that in, because you spend so much time at work.
Yeah.
It is almost like a personal space as well.
It and, is. You can't like beat around the bush with that, basically.
That would be my tip. That's what I'm going to do next year for my one-to-one or my development talk.
Good. Now for me, I'm more like, fuck. We're doing this in English now, so my husband understands everything.
Oh my God, mine
he
too.
Will yell at me when I get back home because I've just been lying for like half an hour. He's gonna be like, damn you woman, I do everything. And then like I just nag when I don't feel he's done it good enough. But anyways,
they're great. We love them.
Yes,
deeply.
We love you guys if you're listening. But of course, you know, there's so much room for improvement. And because you love us so much, you will do everything you can to make our lives better. Bye.